What is up, everybody? Welcome in. Another episode of Crossing Broadcast on a Thursday afternoon. Kevin Kincaid here with you. We got a good show for you planned today. We got not one, but two guests. We got Johnny Marks rejoining the show at 12:30 today. We're going to make sure this time that we don't say anything that causes him to lose a job. So we're going to be a little bit more conservative this time around. We've got Bob Long coming on at 12:05. Bob, who had a great call of the PCL Championship game-winning buzzer beater the other night. He's going to come on, and we're going to go through that. We're going to talk about high school sports. We're going to get it back to high school sports on the show today. No Rush Joy today on the show. Russ had, I actually don't know what he had. He had something he had to go do, but I'm happy to return to the show for his first time in a couple weeks. Still has not hung his wall art, but Kyle Pagan is back with us. One time only. There he is. Oh, we got Bob there too. Bob, keep him on. Stay up. Bob's going to stay on too. Bob can join the conversation from the beginning. Kyle, how are you?
Doing all right. How are you? Got some breaking news. The Dollar Dog Night is canceled, but we will wait to the latter half of the show to go on that. This is Bob's time. This
okay, you want to do Bob for? Because I was going to say Bob can join in on the Dollar Dog Night conversation if he wants to. Anybody can have an opinion about DDN if they want to. But you want to do you want this so you want to do? Time. Okay, Bob's time first. Okay, we'll do PCL first, and then we'll do Dollar Dog because there's a lot of we feel like we were kind of hoodwinked and bamboozled and led astray, I believe, as Stephen A. Smith once said on some video clip somewhere, because we thought that we were getting Dollar Dog Night coming up. Kyle emailed Hatfield Meats customer service, and they told him Dollar Dog Night was coming back. Maybe something got lost in translation, but we'll get to that later. Bob Long from Bob Long Sports is on the show. What's up, man? How you been?
Oh, it's great to talk to you guys. Kyle, that's great journalism. Emailing the Hatfield Meats department. That's quality there.
Oh, they lied to me. How good is the journalism, really, anyway? So I'm officially moving my stance to Ballpark Franks or Hebrew National. I haven't decided yet. But, Bob, again, time is yours, brother. Thank you for coming on. We really appreciate it. Dude, is the PCL the best? How's the newfound fame? I want to hear about it all.
The Philadelphia Catholic League is the best high school basketball league in the state of Pennsylvania and one of the best leagues in the country. Some will tell you it's the best. Tremendous atmosphere. The Palestra is, you know, anytime you start with the Palestra, it's a good way to go. That venue is the cathedral of college basketball. And it's the sad part is, Kyle and Kevin, there's just not that many contests per year now with how the Big Five has changed and where the Ivy League is right now. There's not that many contests per year that actually unveil the beauty of it. And those two nights in February, the second to last Wednesday in the month, and then the last Monday of the month, is the Palestra in its finest form.
It's crazy to me because I was watching that and I've seen the shot now from every angle. And I don't know. It's like one of those laugh or cry things because I'm happy to see the Palestra rocking again. But I'm like, okay, it's a PCL championship. Now, I keep going back to that time, I guess, last year where they ran like the doubleheader, the Big Five doubleheader at the Palestra, and nobody was there. I mean, maybe like 3,000 people or something. And they had the Barstool Invitational with like three mid-majors and like Mississippi State or something at the Wells Fargo Center, and it outdrew that. But that was a rocking environment, man. Even last year too with the bank shot to tie it up at the end. But so before I want to play the call and I want to go over because it was a great call, but I want to back it up here because you and I actually go back like 10 years now or something. Bob and I were doing a radio show called Vuvuzela, the World Soccer Show, on like 860 WWDB or something like that. So Bob and I actually go back like a long way here. And then I keep seeing your name popping up. I'm like, oh, Bob's got his like doing his like own thing, kind of like independent, like calling high school games, calling whatever. I mean, you got to take me back and like explain. So how did you get into this position in the first place? And how did you build this sort of like play-by-play guy thing?
Yeah, the quickest story I can give you is back when I was a senior in high school, I was interested in the sports broadcast side of things, interested in the business side of things, had a decision to make. What was I going to major in college? And made, at the time, the pragmatic decision to go into finance. It's what I do for a living. It's where I'm joining you from right now, as you can probably tell. And I told myself I wasn't going to let myself off the hook that easily, though. And so I was obviously doing the finance thing and told myself that I wanted to check this sports broadcasting piece of things out, got involved with the student radio station, started the very earliest iteration of what is now Bob Long Sports. And I did that December of my freshman year back in 2009. And slowly we grew and we added more on the audio side, started doing audio broadcasts of high school basketball games. This led to that. And here we are now, where I've been doing Catholic League basketball for about 10 years. We've moved into the video space with the live replays and the score bugs and all the good stuff, trying to do our best to put a TV broadcast together, but through the digital stream waves, exactly what you guys are doing here digitally on the talk radio side.
It's all independent stuff, man. You can be your own boss. And Craig, if you've got that call, we can play it. But yeah, I mean, it's just good to see high school coverage anywhere and anywhere now, because it's not a big thing necessarily in the Philadelphia region anymore. But Craig, if you got that video, let's play. Let's listen to the game-winning call from the other night.
22 seconds left. Good cut by Murray. Nearly lost his footing. Still patience and still time. Sorber. Sorber goes baseline. Everett for the lead. Bang!
Bang!
Bang! Bang! Bang! The clock still runs. Roman Catholic has one timeout. They don't call it. This is for the win. Yes!
Unbelievable.
Yes!
I think my favorite part, besides this guy literally taking this child and putting him back in the stands, is I think it was Huck Palmer was next to you, correct, Bob?
Yep.
And the unbelievable under his breath, because of the golden horseshoe that Roman has up their ass, is insane right now. All right, 34 PCL championships. You think someone can't be any more lucky. You think someone can't be any more successful. But no, here's Roman, back-to-back years, hitting a game-winning shot, and then last year, an overtime, sending it to overtime on Xavier Brown's heave. I know you're an unbiased guy, obviously, you know. Well, maybe not with LaSalle, because I know you call all those games and everything. If LaSalle was in
We do our best to call it down the middle, even with LaSalle, Kyle.
I hear you, brother. Did you, going into the game, did you find yourself a little, that was after the game, did you find yourself a little sad for the Ryan guys? Because, like, I like greatness. Like, I like LeBron, I like Brady, I like Jordan. But, like, Roman is great. You kind of want to watch the little guy win. You know, they were in the championship 2 years ago, lose to Newman and everything. Did you find yourself a little bit rooting for the underdog, or is it like Bob's got to stay down the middle? Bob's got to stay stay clean.
I was disappointed for the Archbishop Ryan players and coaches. That class, which still, by the way, has an opportunity to win a District 12 title on Saturday against Imhotep, who win a 5A state title in late March. But that class was the golden class. Darren Williams going to Florida Gulf Coast, going to play, by the way, for Pat Chambers. And, oh, by the way, Shep Garner's on his staff. And Matt Griffin is on his staff down there as well. And then Sorber, of course, going to Georgetown. Cooley was at the game. Cooley had great comments about it was the best high school environment he's seen in 30 years of recruiting high school ball. And then Joe Zaglinski, the head coach of the program, who previously was the all-time scoring leader there until it was broken this year by now his player, Thomas Sorber. Yes, I felt for those guys. I really did. And I think anybody would have felt for those guys. And by the way, I would have felt for Roman Catholic if the ball didn't go through the cylinder. It was that good of a game.
So you guys were both there. I laughed because it was funny about the guy grabbing the dude and keeping him from coming on the court, because we had the Jay Billis thing the other day, and the Kyle Filipowski thing where Jay Billis was saying, well, we should just arrest all of the court stormers and then they'll never storm the court again. It looked like not a lot of people tried to get on the court to begin with, right? I mean,
they're really good at that. The PCL, Palestra, Ivy League security are so good at that.
Mm-hmm.
Last year's
the only year that I remember, top of head, and I'm sure I'm wrong on that, but last year is the only year that I remember where they could not keep them off the floor.
Well, and they had, because I was looking back at the video and I was trying to count the number of like yellow clad security people on each side. I was like watching like a Premier League game where it's like the Liverpool section is right next to the
Chelsea.
They have like 100 stewards like in between them, you know, so you're not getting through there with a bulldozer. But I just thought it was funny. Let me ask you about making a call like that. I mean, when you know that you're in crunch time or it's going to be a big shot or something, I mean, are you consciously like thinking about, okay, if he makes, I'm going to call this. If he misses, I'm going to call this. Are you just like in the moment, like just winging it? I'm just going to say whatever comes out of my mouth here.
Yeah. I mean, somewhere in between. I don't like to think I'm winging it, but I absolutely am not prepping a call. The way I like to say it is, I like to think that everything I've done leading up to this point, that's studying these teams, that's just the reps of doing this for 10 years, is going to put me in a position where when the moment happens, that my best course of action is to see the ball and call the game. And however that comes out, we'll live with the results. And in this particular case, I was pleased with it. I thought it was a half decent call, and I'm glad that it was good for that moment.
What was the most shocking piece of media that took your call and you're like, oh damn, that's crazy?
I think anytime you lead SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt and The Best Thing I Saw Today, that probably takes the cake. From a pure numbers standpoint, the fact that Barstool's initial post, and they were the first to get it up, I believe, that's now at 3.2 million views. And my thought is, who are these people? I mean,
so you're quitting your job, right? You're doing this full time. You got offers from CBS, Fox, NBC, anyone? Any offers coming out of the woodwork?
Walking out the door and not coming back, Kyle. Absolutely.
You got to leverage this is your opportunity, man. If it ain't going to happen now, then you got to wait for the next buzzer beater in the PCO. You know,
it'd just be next year.
Yeah. Right. That's how it goes. No, listen, I mean, certainly there are and hopefully will be opportunities. I love what I do. I love the Philadelphia Catholic League. I didn't get into the Philadelphia Catholic League because I necessarily wanted to be calling the Super Bowl, right? I mean, I wanted to do this because it's a tremendous league, undercovered, underreported, thought we could be a difference maker in a niche market, and didn't feel so niche on Monday night.
No, it's awesome, man. 3.2 million too on the Barstool thing. I haven't had a tweet go past 1 million since I showed a clip of Ben Simmons doing a turnaround fadeaway that didn't hit the rim. And that was kind of an accident on that one, but it's good to see the Palestra rocking again, kind of like I was saying at the beginning, because you know, media, it's hard enough to even get, Kyle and I have talked about this before. Kyle's a Temple guy, you know, and it's like it's hard enough to get people to care about the Big Five. You get media coverage for the Big Five at the collegiate level. Number one, even if the teams are good, they're always going to get buried beneath the Eagles and the Phillies and the Flyers and the Sixers. So you got that one level. Then there's the other things about the college teams being good. Right. But then you look at what's happening in the journalism business too. I mean, like a lot of the guys, like the Inquirer guys who were doing high school basketball for a while, they were part of the buyout crowd, and they're not there anymore. So they still doing that coverage via City of Basketball Love, and they have an agreement with them. But you're right, man. It's like, it's just funny too, because I don't know if you lived anywhere else besides this region?
Yes, right out of college for 2 years, I lived in Pittsburgh and started doing high school coverage out that way.
It's big. Yeah, I mean, you know, man, like Pittsburgh high school stuff's big. And like around here, okay, you get St. Joe's Prep and football, and you get LaSalle and football and all that stuff. But I feel like it just gets – like there's a lot of good high school stories here, man. Mm-hmm. Not just PCL too, but like that's why I like what you're doing, because it's like a – like you said, niche. I say niche. My wife says niche. I don't know. Whatever people want to say. But you're doing something where there's a demand for that and a need for that. I thought it was great, man, because when I saw your name popping up the other night, I was like, Bob, yeah, man, Bob from Vuvuzela back in the day or whatever. But like, people knew who you were. You know, it wasn't like who's this dude? Like I say, yeah, we know Bob from doing his high school stuff. So in my mind, that's cool, man, because you're doing something that the Big J world has kind of ignored over the years. But there's obviously a need for that, you know.
There is. And we're happy to be a cog in the wheel. You know, there are scenarios where, so for example, Archbishop Ryan, they just a couple of years ago started their own broadcast team, and they do a tremendous job. And they came to us before they even started and said, hey, where do we go from here? I love that. I love that, because if there are other schools out there that are having that same that same type of discussion or thought of, can we do this? The answer is that you can. You need someone that is willing to do it and work hard and be engaged. But, you know, I or someone like me can show you the way. And hopefully more and more schools. Kyle, I think you're a Lansdale Catholic guy. Is that right?
Yeah, so I am, baby.
Help get something started at Lansdale Catholic.
Let's win a basketball game first for the first time in 3 years in the league, and then we'll get something maybe in order. Maybe, well, no, because then, hey, listen,
your girls' basketball team won the final last year, including a state championship.
That is true. The girls did win last year. Shout out to the girls.
That was another one of those last minute calls that was so much fun to do.
Yeah. Oh, Kevin Cooney jumping in. Was LC really Catholic League? Yes. Sophomore year, we jumped into the Catholic League. We should be back in the Pac-12. I'll be the first one to say it. But beating up on Boyertown and Perk Valley and all those rednecks up there. But I'll be the first to say it. I love being in the PCL. Don't know if we really exactly should be in the PCL. Anyway. Yeah. I mean, I 100% agree. Like, there should be. Like, I was thinking this the other day. How long have you guys been broadcasting the PCL Championship?
Well, so that's another story. So just last year and now this year.
Okay, so that has been. I never knew it was broadcasted. And then I saw from, I think, the Foot of a Catholic League official Twitter handle was like, hey, you can listen to it here. And I was like, that's a perfect idea because I know so many people. I mean, I got a ticket like 3 hours before the game because they go like that. So I was using all my resources, my LC resources and stuff. So I was lucky enough to get one, but I know. Mm-hmm.
It was sold out 4 days in advance. I mean, you're pulling some connections there because those tickets were gone on Sunday.
But he's a fan even Saturday.
Yeah, I saw like a TikTok that went viral of these like Ryan kids. We're talking about how crazy, insane the everyone was going for a ticket, like their friends, their family, like their uncles, their cousins were all asking for a ticket. I mean, this is the second time Ryan's been in the PCL, but they've or PCL championship, but they've never won the PCL championship. And the entire Northeast turned out. I mean, that yep. was rooting for Ryan. Like you could feel it like that. I feel like the majority were rooting for Ryan. Mm-hmm. There was a little subsection of Roman over there, but just going back to it, like this is there is a need for this broadcasting. There is a need for, you know, you guys even just doing the semifinals and the championship. I mean, I don't know what your numbers on the broadcast were, but like next year I might just watch at home. It's a lot more easier to do than go all the way out.
Don't
to
say
West
that.
Philadelphia.
That's not what the Catholic League wants to hear. No, they want to see that building sold out first.
I could go outside. I could go outside and sell my ticket for $30-$40 and make a.
Yep, you're right. You're right. And what I'll say to that is, if I were the Philadelphia Catholic League, and I love the folks at the Philadelphia Catholic League, today, yesterday, this week, and I it's a half baked idea, but they should have done a flash sale for next year's Catholic League final. Like, hey, you know what? You want your seat? Get in now. It was sold out, you know, 3 days in advance this year, while it's as hot as it can possibly be. Now, again, I don't think they have the date or the venue, all that good stuff. But yeah, in a perfect world, if you could get your ticket right now for next year's final, wouldn't you? Absolutely. Oh, yeah. And so, yeah, they've been broadcasting it for the last 2 years. It's been a point of discussion for, you know, for years. And 2 years ago was the right time, and now this, you know, this year was great. The idea is they want to make sure they're selling out that building, and you know what? They're going to sell out that building for Kingdom Come. I mean,
100%.
That was the hottest ticket in Philadelphia for any sporting event since, and I'll leave it to you guys, but in a long time.
Well, speaking of a long time, you know, it's been a long time since Lansdale Catholic won a game. I think this is the thing where conference realignment just doesn't work for everybody, you know.
NIL.
Lansdale Catholic tried to join the SEC, turned into Vanderbilt.
No, we did join the SEC. We're Vanderbilt.
You are the Vanderbilt of the SEC. Yeah. Okay, but you're not going to have to. I mean, are you guys going to have to leave like when Temple was in the Big East and I think we beat them 80-7 one year? I think they went to the MAC for like a year. Is Lansdale Catholic going to have to go to the what is the MAC of southeastern Pennsylvania? You're going to have to play like Ole
Pac-12 you know,
on Fleetwood, maybe. Yeah,
Pac-12 is the MAC of
Pac-10.
Pac-12 or whatever. Yeah, Pac-10, whatever the hell it's called.
Wait, we have a super chat here from Ford, who made his debut on the show. Kind of Let's bring up the super chat. He said, ask Bob where he gets his drive from. He's got a Ford must be looking at your LinkedIn or something because he says you have a hell of a resume. And it's
we apologize for the commenters. They go off the rails a lot.
Thank you, Ford. I appreciate that. Where do I get the drive from? Man, that's a great, that's a very good question. I just love this stuff. You know, I guess that to answer it as simply as I possibly can, I love it. There's a need for it. I want to keep doing it. I don't know. You could ask my wife, I suppose. It's always about adding more things on, and it's the subtracting part gets tougher and tougher. But we just have a lot of fun with it. Ford, I'll give you one more. We got a 7-month old at home as well. Oh, so,
Jesus.
A lot going on in the Long household.
There, Bobby Long. My goodness. You're like Sorber on Monday night, just adding your stats. Hey, I want to talk to you one thing. And obviously, you know, you're a broadcaster and everything, so I don't expect you to have quite the opinion on it. But shot clock in the PCL. It's time. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Are you against
it? So, it's a nuanced answer, I know, sorry, but sure, I think a lot of people would like a shot clock. I think most schools in the Catholic League would like a shot clock. What it comes down to is the PIAA, which is the state's governing body, has not accepted a shot clock, and that's going to be a lot more difficult than getting 14-member institutions in the PCL to agree to it. Now, if you play non-league games, say you play against an Interact team. LaSalle plays Malvern Prep. Lansdale Catholic plays Penn Charter. And you play on the road. There is a shot clock that's installed in those gyms. But Philadelphia Catholic League schools are required to play that game without a shot clock. That comes not from Catholic League administrators, but from the PIAA. And so long as the PIAA has that opinion, or that's the standard, and so long as the Philadelphia Catholic League is in the PIAA, if we had an hour to talk about that, we could get into that topic. Yeah. But so long as those two things are true, if then it's not going to happen.
Yeah, personally, I don't want to leave the PIAA just because I love being able to be like, look at that PCL state champion, look at that PCL state champion, look at us. But I also, is the Interact allowed in the state championships?
No, they are not. They are in a Pennsylvania Association for Independent Schools, and they will play schools such as the Perky Oman School or, you know, various friends schools. They have their state championship, which is, I'll say, a lot lower profile, but great, great competition. I mean, extremely high competition. Think about some of the kids that have come through those friends schools, but they play that at St. Joe's University in a couple of weeks.
And that's one thing that, like, I wish – because I'm always like, I wish the best teams played the best teams. Of course, as sports fans, we're always like that. That's why we tune into marquee matchups at primetime. Like, I want, you know, Newman going against Friends Central. I want, you know, the best of the best playing against each other, Westtown and Roman and all those guys and everything. So I'm like, on one hand, I don't think the PIAA will ever go to a shot clock. I think it's more of a money issue than it is a we can't do it issue, because then you're not just talking
Ever is a long time, but ever is a long, long time. You know, you think about how much early computers cost, and now you can fit more storage into a little thumb drive than that computer. So could it become economical at some point in the future to put a shot clock in? I don't know. But then you're always going to need people to use them and to operate them.
Is that the iteration of next Bob Long Sports? Doing a shot clock that's affordable for the school?
How about that?
Yeah. Get your finance degree on that.
Might actually be some money in that piece.
I hear you, brother.
Yeah. But, you know, I guess thought there in terms of the Catholic League and how they fit into the PIAA. Sure. You know, there are people that enjoy them going to the state championships and winning. There are folks that say it's time to leave. What I'll say without taking a position is this: it's much tougher to win a Philadelphia Catholic League championship than a PIAA state championship. And in almost every single year, because you bifurcate and stratify into different classifications based upon school size, whereas we're playing for one title, whether you're 3A or 6A at the Palestra, you're going to have in almost every year more Philadelphia Catholic League state champions, say two or three or even four, then Philadelphia Catholic League champions. One. one.
I mean, Jahlil Bethia is projected to be a top five pick next year. He plays for Archibald Wood. Team didn't even make the semifinals. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. What other league?
We did that game. We did that game as well. Father Judge traveled to Warminster, and that game was unbelievable till the final minute.
Yeah.
I'm going to get Ford real quick here because he said bifurcate. Pagan has no idea what that word means, but he spelled bifurcate wrong. It's actually with a U. So, but I appreciate Ford. Oh. He was just laughing at you, Pagan, because he paid $5 for the super chat, and then you were making fun of him anyway. So then he went on a little screed in the chat. But that's all right. We're all good.
You see, this is the show. It's off the rails. Commenters, technology.
I love it. What are you what are you guys without your fans and commenters though?
No, we let them on the show if they've asked us enough times. Usually it takes like between 75 to 80 requests, but we'll get no, Ford was a great dude. Bob, this has been fun, man. I know you have to go in a little bit, but what do you want to, for people who by now everybody should know what Bob does and who he is, but what do you want to promote, what do you want to tell people as we wrap it up here?
I mean, we're around, you know, I'm not a super promoter, and maybe that's something that I got to get a little bit better at. But if you like high school sports, odds are we're calling some of the biggest games in the area. We do our best, certainly for football and for basketball, to do that. I'll transition a little bit in state playoff time. I'm the voice of six of the basketball state title games, four on the boys' side, two on the girls' side this year is how it shakes out. But yeah, you know, we have a YouTube channel, a Twitter. We're getting there on Instagram. Could use a little bit of help there. But no, you know, we love what we do. I think high school sports is an underserved market, and we're going to keep doing it for as long as we can. And the other shout out I guess I'd give is to Huck Palmer, who was unbelievable in that color commentary appearance, to the Catholic League administrators who did make the decision to broadcast the game. The Penn Sports Network was an incredible production crew. I mean, that's a high level broadcast there. And I also have to shout out, we talked about it with your Lansdale Catholic girls, Kyle, but that was last year's champion. How about Archbishop Wood, the girls this year, an equally good game that went to double overtime and had a last second heave that did not fall for Archbishop Carroll. You know, in the meantime, 1,000-point score. Ava Renninger, she achieved that feat in the midst of the first overtime period. So, you know, that was also sold out. There were no tickets left for that doubleheader. And the corners were filled, as we like to say, at the Palestra for the boys and the girls finals. And those two nights of basketball at the Palestra are my personal two favorite events in Philadelphia sports all year long.
I love it.
Awesome.
I love it.
Thanks for coming on, man. We appreciate it. Great call the other night. Bob Long, everybody. Check him out. Bob Long Sports. Good to see you again, man. We'll have you. We'll get you on next time. Next year, I'm sure there'll be another epic buzzer beater or something. We'll get you on after that, too.
Keep doing your thing, guys. It's great.
All right. Thanks, man.
Appreciate it, bud.
Bob Long, everybody. I know you've got to go in a little bit, Pagan, but we got to talk Dollar Dog Night here. Do you feel as though you've been misled in this whole thing?
Yeah, Lisa Nice lied. It's so funny to get like upset about hot dogs, about cheap meat. But it's bullshit in my mind. Bullshit from the Phillies in my mind. Like, the only reason they can do this is because they're good again. Now, if they sucked and they needed the ticket sales, nothing changes. Everyone's on their soapbox. Maybe you shouldn't throw hot dogs. Maybe you shouldn't do this. Maybe you shouldn't do that. No shit. But let's not act like throwing hot dogs is something new. Like, that's the thing that I don't understand. They're standing behind the guise of throwing hot dogs and long concession lines. The call is coming from inside the house. Figure out the concession lines. Aramark and Phillies, $2 billion corporations, can't figure out concession lines? Like, what are we doing here? John Weber, the VP, whatever the hell his name is, he's saying that they had a fan survey You know who those fans were. They were the season ticket holders, were the survey, were the people in the survey. Sure. Yeah. You should take care of those people. They pay the most money, but guess who's not going to be there on Tuesday, April 2nd? Guess who's not going to be there on Tuesday, April 16th? The season ticket holders will not be there. They won't. They usually trend older, kids, family, jobs. They're not going to be there. They're going to sell their tickets. So if they want to bitch because they saw, you know, fans throwing dogs on their phones and on their Instagram and on their social media profiles, whatever. But like, these are the same fans who abandoned you for the last 13 years and will abandon you once you go on another skid. So like, so you can stick your fucking survey up your ass, John Weber. It's bullshit. It's greed is what it is. It is. They're trying to pay for extensions. They're trying to pay for Harper. They're trying to pay for Trey Turner. Like, two, no one calls it dollar dog. No one calls it BOGO dog night. It's dollar dog night. Now we're doing $2.50 for two dogs. Like, this shit is so, it just, and for Bob Casey, you're dead to me, dude. You are dead to me. You,
I'm voting Republican
traitor.
Next time. Yeah. Red wave. Yeah,
red wave, baby.
Red wave is coming.
Because Listen, the funny thing is about Bob Casey too, is yesterday he either signs a bill or he talks to something about Wendy's and doing their whole price gouging stuff after they're trying to do surge pricing and everything.
Yeah.
Trying to write a bill saying how a Frosty or a burger shouldn't be one price at 3 o'clock and be another price at 6 o'clock. And then he comes there and he goes, double sounds like a great way to fuel up for Red October. You too, Bob? John Middleton paid you, Bob? Paid you, Bob? After you're just talking about how burgers and Frosties shouldn't be doubled in certain times, and now you're in the pockets of the Phillies? Ugh.
Well, let's get those credential applications approved before we tell anybody to shove it up their ass. Not that I perceive there to be any problems, but that's just
so I understand. Like, you know what? Like, would I like to go to Aaron Nola events that they keep me from? Sure. Would I like to go to Bryce Harper or when Hoskins was here, his charity events? I'd love to go to them. I'd love to go to the ballpark new food things. But you know what? We did it with the Sixers. It's not that fun. It's not that great. We never released the video. So you know what? If I don't get approved, I don't get approved. No. I'm still this guy who I'm the boogeyman for the Phillies for some reason. I'm the boogeyman.
For people who don't know what I'm talking about, Pagan is actually not cleared. I'm trying to think of the right terminology. You're not banned. You're just not cleared to do Phillies events. You know, like if Aaron Nola and Yingling got together to release like a new Black and Tan or something. Right. But, I think your reporting, I think your investigative journalism on the story was good because you emailed Hatfield Meats customer service. Lisa gave you the dates, and then you put the caveat in the story. You had the two April dates, correct? And then you had the caveat in the story saying that the discussion seemed to be like the issue of how, like, what the limit, the hot dog limit was going to be.
Yeah.
In my mind, that wasn't incorrect. It was the limit turned into a buy one, get one kind of thing instead. So I think Pagan led the charge on the dollar dog night fiasco here. And
them feeding this shit to the Inquirer behind a paywall too. What a bunch of fucking bullshit. I do not like this organization. I do not. I think just the pearl clutching by these people is just insane. They got mad because we brought back Dollar Dog Night the first time, which is your fault, by the way. Again, this is all your fault. They got mad at me going out and doing a funny bit of petitioning to lengthen the beer sales since the pitch clock was introduced. They weren't happy about that. Like, They're not real people, I feel like. They're corporate stooges in my mind. Like, just have never laughed at a joke ever. Like, this is such overreaction, pussification of America stuff. And Dollar Dog Night, I want to say right now, because I gotta go. Dollar Dog Night is not dead. Dollar Dog Night will be back. I promise you that. It might not be back for 2, 3, 4 years, but it's coming back. When they start sliding, and the run is over and the prime is done, Dollar Dog Night will be back. And again, thank you, Craig, for pulling this up. Nobody's ever gotten injured at a dollar by a hot dog before in Citizens Bank Park, unless it came from a Phillies team employee. I got to go. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, man. It's great to have you back on the show.
Hey,
Kyle Pagan, everybody. He's going to take that $5 super chat from Ford and he's going to use it to hang his wall art. Let's bring John Marks on the show. Johnny Marks coming back to the show. Hey, man.
That's a tough act to follow.
Do you have thoughts on Dollar Dog?
Yeah. Dollar Dog, fucking hated them. And I'm glad they're gone. I would never go on a night that there was a Dollar Dog night. And the hot dogs blow and they're cold and they're not even cooked because idiots decide they're going to buy 20 hot dogs at a time to throw around. So count me in the category of people that fucking are glad that there's no more Dollar Dog nights. All right. There you go.
Wow. Well, good thing I didn't have you and Pagan on at the same time, or else I would have just kind of shuffled. I would have spun my chair in a circle and shuffled off of the set here.
Let me be clear.
I like your background. I got to say, I like your background. You're in a different spot in the house, huh?
It's brand new. Yeah. Wow. I mean, like you can people must like, man, Johnny Marks is making a lot of money. Like, look at that. It looks like he's in the mountains with his living room.
Yeah, you got the little stonework and the wood shelf there on the fireplace in the back. I like it. Yeah, it feels very
right, cozy.
Bushkillian. Last time you came on the show, you ended up losing one of your jobs. Is there anything that's off the record or anything that's taboo that I'm not?
Well, I just used the F word within 3 times in the first minute. So if there's any potential employers out there, I probably just ruined that too, Kevin.
Oh, God forbid. You know, we use the language on the show.
Listen, I was actually thinking about this. And by the way, I not only do I have a lot of respect for Kyle and his passion for Dollar Dog Night, it's just we're on the other side of the, we're on the other side of the fence on it, but I still respect them. But the Phillies are treating him kind of like the stuttering John of Crossing Broad. Remember John used to go out to do the celebrity interviews?
Yeah.
And the Phillies are almost treating like they think that he's going to do the stuttering John thing if he was able to go to these events.
Yeah.
So I think that they're clearly a guy like Kyle that has a lot of passion towards his baseball team in the city should be treated a little bit better.
Yeah, and I'll explain it a little bit because I am the senior managing editor and therefore the point of contact for most of these things. So Anthony's been going down to games for a couple of years. Anthony Sanfilippo, right. Bob Wankel has been going down to games for a while. We're credentialed with the Phillies. Like, we have a decent enough relationship with them. I really don't talk to them a lot. Because it's just
right.
Anthony's down there. Is it all good? Yeah. Bob's down there. Is it all good? So I'll tell you the story. Like, the example I used earlier was Yingling was doing something with Aaron Nola, some kind of just bullshit activation. You know what I mean? Like, he's promoting a new chocolate porter or something, you know, whatever. So like, we get a press release, not from the Phillies, but from the Yingling people saying like, here's the date, let us know if you want to come down or whatever. And Kyle says, yeah, we'll come down and we'll do a Aaron Nola, whatever, Yingling thing, no problem. I get a call from the Phillies saying he's not allowed to do it because he hasn't been cleared. He doesn't have clearance. They kept using this word clearance. And I'm like, what the hell are they talking about? Like, do you need a background check? Do you need me to send you his fingerprints or something like that? What do you mean clearance? And they just basically said, like, he's not like,
they want to vet him.
He's not vetted. Yes. Thank you. Yeah, exactly.
You're just sending Sutter and John down and he's gonna do something bad. And
yeah, I don't know what they thought we were gonna do. I don't know if they thought he was gonna like flip the tables on him and like chuck a bunch of Yingling into the stands or something like that. But right, I mean, it was more of like a we don't know you, we have to get to know you kind of thing. So it wasn't like there's nothing been standoffish between them, but it's just funny to me because it's like every other team has no problem with it. And the Phillies are notoriously, they've always been kind of old school. I think they were probably like the last team in town to like allow bloggers, to have credentials and whatnot.
For sure.
And obviously like Kyle Scott, like old school Crossing Broad, had a certain relationship with the Phillies and, too, where there's a lot of Phillies content on the site that was adversarial maybe, but
yeah, for sure. No, they probably, and the Phillies are great people. To me, my experience is they also take a lot of things personally. And like you had said, if Kyle back in the day, and remember Crossing Broad really started during that run, during the Phillies, the initial run, 2007, 2008, 2009. So there was a ton of Phillies content. I don't remember exactly what would have pissed them off or not. But, not surprising that they said, hey, we don't know this guy.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I support him, and I just hate dollar dog nights. So I'm out.
Fair enough. So how's the YouTube stuff going? I mean, do you have an update for us? Irons still in the fire here. What's the latest with John Marks on 229 here?
So I mean, now that we're almost in the beginning of March, I do have something that hopefully we're going to be able to finalize and in the next week or so. And it's not radio or anything like that, but it's definitely it's like right now I'm just kind of looking for a couple of licks or a couple of rackets. You know what I mean? Like going back to radio full time ain't going to happen. At least I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Right now, or maybe even in the future. I don't know. The one thing I'm definitely looking at right now is, being that most likely I'm going to try something independent that's a digital thing, and it's a matter of who am I working with, how am I doing it. I've been doing the YouTube show every weeknight at 9 o'clock. We live, we hot.
Yep.
Every night, and I made that up myself, that tagline yep. for it.
Yeah.
But like, I'm watching my kids during the day. I'm kind of rolling down into the basement and doing an hour with my guy Steve Gallo, and it's a lot of fun. And I think it's great content. But at some point in the next month, we're gonna become legit with a different time slot, and I got to decide who I'm going to work with and exactly what I'm going to do with it. But it seems like right now that's probably what's going to happen. I know Jacob Media, and they've been going through some stuff with losing their sponsors and losing some shows and things like that. So I don't know if that would be something I would consider, but I've talked to some people with production companies that would like to help try to produce the show and try to sell it. And I have my sponsors as well. So right now, as we enter March, that's where it looks like it's going for the future.
Cool. Well, we'll keep an eye out on that, and we'll look for an update from you. Let's get into a couple random topics here. I feel like this has kind of been beat to death. We didn't talk about it on this show, or at least I did not. Russ, I think, touched on it on Monday in his solo show. Let's just put the AJ Brown WIP thing to bed. Just from a standpoint of, I think it's interesting from a media perspective, because I see the stuff that you're, you know, commenting on Twitter and the way that you're talking about it too. And what I thought was funny about it is that Ike ends up kind of taking the lead in the interview and like having to speak on behalf of the entire station when he's not he's
least culpable
or the furthest thing from shit stir number one. So I thought that was ironic, you know, but, The second thing is that I kind of, a lot of what I found fascinating was people like not really, I think people conflating like the spreading of rumors with traditional talk radio, hypothetical and conjecture and just the generation of conversation, right? I mean, okay, so maybe Jack goes and puts a poll up that says, you know, would you trade AJ Brown for Patrick Surtain or something like that, right? And then Kay Adams asks AJ Brown about trade rumors. I'm like, well, where the fuck did trade rumors start? You know what I mean? Like at what point does like a hypothetical, we're just talking about something in the media, become like, oh, they're going to trade him. You know what I say? I thought that was probably the most fascinating part of all of it, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. It brought me back to Joe Santaliquido. Remember, he had death threats. People came to his apartment and like were smashing on his door or something.
Like hit his door. Like, so,
Yeah. And then 2 years later, everybody, forget he was right. His reporting was actually correct.
Yeah.
Marcus Hayes had what would be considered a negative article on Jalen Hurts and AJ Brown. And,
yeah.
you know, but like, he's not making that up. There's a veteran that's telling him that kind of stuff. And the fact that the veteran followed up with him after AJ went on WIP is very telling to me, that whatever he said on WIP, at least in my opinion, what they thought of that was, this is bullshit. Right. So, but as far as the WIP stuff, for the most part, I stay off of the cesspool going back and forth. And I wasn't really arguing with people. But when I see, and I don't work at WIP anymore, I love Ike, I love Jack, I love the station. They can do whatever they want to do. But I'm also going to be fair when I see people saying, well, they're spreading rumors. Like WIP is making stories up and they're spreading it. And my response to that was, who and when? Who made something up and who was spreading it? Give me the fake story. And then they don't have an answer because, like you said, it's talk radio. This is what WIP has always done. This is what the Fanatic does. This is what they're always going to do. It's supposed to be a barroom conversation. So having a hypothetical to give you something to talk about, because all you're looking to do, Kevin, is you're looking to burn one show. You're trying to get through a day. You know, it's like, what are you going to talk about? Hey, I would trade AJ Brown for Patrick Surtain right now. Boom. People are pissed. People would do it. People wouldn't do it. That gets you through a show. That's all they're doing. So WIP's not making stuff up. Are they sensationalizing stuff? Are they over-talking the Eagles? Okay, maybe. But they're not making stories up. So I don't want to hear the WIP make stories up and spreads it. The only stuff that's being made up are people saying that.
Well, that's kind of like that's a little bit goes in line with what happened with Anthony and with the Snow the Goalie guys with the Tortorella thing and the Kevin Hayes, because it's like, it's one thing to talk about sourced information and protect a source versus like the Barstool guys were up his ass because they were like claiming it was a fabrication. You know what I'm saying? There's a difference between like reporting something and not naming a source versus just making shit up.
Right.
You know, which is why I thought like the more dangerous thing from that particular week was when Craig Carton comes out and he says, I know what you did last summer, but I can't tell you, you know. Then that generates a bunch of bullshit on top of it. And that, like, somebody's sleeping with somebody's wife, that rumor just came up from fans. You know what I mean? That wasn't a media creation or whatever. Like, furthermore, I just think it's funny because a lot of the people who would rip radio or media for quote unquote rumor mongering or whatever are probably sitting on the ESPN trade machine every other day, like, you know, thinking about who they would trade anyway, you know? So I think it's like it's fascinating to me from a media perspective to just look at how, like, a hypothetical or just a discussion or a conjecture turns into trade rumor. How does that turn into trade? I blame Kay Adams almost more than anybody for that. She went to him and said to him, like, what do you think about these trade rumors? What do you mean trade rumors? You know, it's like a hypothetical, I think, that just kind of took on a life of its own, you know?
Right. And then AJ lives on Twitter. So he sees people are tweeting at him saying WIP's doing this, WIP's doing that. I mean, I talked to somebody that was trying to get AJ on the show and he was told, no, he's calling in the WIP. He's not calling in anybody else. He specifically wants to talk to WIP. And I think Ike and Jack just got fortunate that it happened to be when he was going to call in, right?
Like, but isn't that what's funny? It's like, at the end of the day, this is what I wrote on the website. It's like, we heard from AJ Brown and we learned some things from him, you know? So the process of getting from point A to point B was a little ass backwards, sure. But I mean, do we have information now that we didn't have before? We do.
Yeah,
did we get to hear from somebody that we wanted to hear from? I guess, you know, so it's like, I don't know. That's what I was saying on the show the other week. It's like when, you know, Craig Carton, for instance, comes out and says some bullshit, you get some people who come out on the other side and they're like, this is crap. You know, I'm going to tell you what I know, you know? And so it's a little weird how you get there. But ultimately, like, I felt like I learned a little bit from that. And so I don't know. It's just fascinating to me. All right, let's switch gears and talk about something different. Craig, if you've got the story about the sports complex reimagination, did you see the renderings that Comcast put out for wanting to redo? So let me try to explain this a little bit. The first renderings for Comcast $2.5 billion stadium reimagination. You're looking right here. You can see the Wells Fargo Center. I'm going to try to like illustrate it for people listening on the podcast. I'm looking at the parking lot of the Wells Fargo Center where Xfinity Live is right now. And they have kind of like a walkable mixed use kind of development where there's like a small music venue and some restaurants and some retail or whatever. That's part of phase one of them kind of reimagining the entire sports complex here. Of course, the first response to everything on Crossing Broad is like, where are we going to park? You know, where are the parking spots? Well, all the parking spots that you don't see in this photo are still going to be there, right? This is kind of what they control, and this is going to be the first phase of redevelopment here. Craig, if you want to scroll down to the second one there. So they have kind of like a little thing you walk under here. There's a venue there. You know, here's people walking around and having a good time, and they're eating and they're drinking and they're buying $40 stateside vodkas. You know, if you want to keep scrolling down, Craig, this is kind of like the plaza, I guess, or whatever, kind of the reimagining. You see the Wells Fargo Center there in the back.
Looks cool.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, what's your first reaction to this stuff?
That nobody's going to go to the sports complex to do anything but go to games and maybe hang out before and after the games, right? Like number McFadden's. Yeah. Down at the ballpark was really big when the Phillies were really good and they were sold out every night. Yeah. And what happened when they weren't good anymore? No one went to McFadden's at the ballpark, right? Now, this is obviously different because it's a master plan, a phase. They're trying to, hey, this is a counter move to what the 76ers are trying to do with their downtown arena. They're saying, hey, like, you don't want to go downtown. You want to be right here. You have everything right here. I remember when they built Xfinity Live and they tried to put a high-end steakhouse in there. They actually even brought us in for like a free dinner. And it's like, who's going to go to a high-end steakhouse at the sports complex?
Yeah.
Right. Like I love going down. I love going somewhere before. I don't mind going somewhere after. It doesn't happen a whole lot anymore, having kids and stuff. But but that's the extent of it. So if you want to put all this retail and all this stuff down there, that's fine. I'm not going to be going down there unless I'm going to a game.
It's a good question, man. I because my knee jerk reaction to all this stuff, my first inclination is to say, I'm always happy to see new ideas and think about different things and always think about how can we improve something. You know, I think Philadelphia is a very parochial and provincial type of area, even coming out into the suburbs too. I think we were all the same way where it's like, oh, we don't need this, or we can't afford this, or that's never going to work, you know? And it's such a bullshit way of thinking of it, even with anything in life, you know, not just like talking about developmental kind of stuff. Part of me wants to say, let's see what Comcast has to say here. Let's see what the Sixers have to say here. And we'll talk about it and we'll figure out if this makes sense. But you touched on something that I think was kind of funny in the reactions, is that like a lot of people just don't feel like they need this stuff. They're perfectly fine with just having a bunch of parking lots down there. And I'd have to pause and have to think about it, because I'm like, it's been the same thing for 50 years. You know, here's the venues, here's a parking lot. Now we got Xfinity here, but people like tailgating. And they want to bring their own food they got at the Wise on South Valley Forge Road, you know, and they get the cheap shit. I mean, instead of like going here and paying for some Aramark stuff. And I'm like, maybe there's a portion of people in the region who feel like we don't need all this fancy stuff because they like it the way it is. It's affordable. And like you say, why do you go down there in the first place? You go to watch the game, you know, so maybe. Like I pause sometimes and I think like, man, are my priorities straight? Or like, can I like try to see it the way that they do, where it's like, well, maybe we don't need all this fancy shit.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's, and I guess they look at it and they say, all right, 81 Phillies home games, you know, you have 40 and then 40 for the Flyers and the Sixers. So that's what, I mean, you have 240 total events there. I just like, if I go down with my kids, there is no, I'm going into the ballpark. You know what I mean? I'm going in. I want to see batting practice, or we want to get helmet Sundays or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I guess that's my point, is this isn't 1995, right? Like I'm not going to a mall as much as I did even 15 years ago. Right. I don't know who is. And it's almost like this idea is in a different era of people want to go down there, one of these options. Listen, we'll see. And like you said, I think it's great to have the choice. I'm just saying they're not going to get a lot of money off of me because they build this big retail complex down there.
Well, it's funny. The chat's having a good time with it. Like Connor Allen says, why the hell are office buildings in the plans for the year 2024? Sherelle Parker's trying to get everybody to come back into the office now because they need that city wage tax revenue. You know, you got these.
Oh, yeah. Everybody wants to drive into the city and not work from home. It's a great point. Dude, yeah. I worked at 24th and Market the second half of the WIP, I guess COVID and then going forward. And just in that area alone, all the way up to like 20th and Market, there was nobody in those office buildings.
No.
Any of the retail places below it, in particular the delis and those places, they got crushed by not having these offices filled. Like,
there's not enough people. They need people. All the development. It's funny because like I've been doing a lot on the Sixers arena, as you know, and I've become kind of familiar with some of the people who are part of Philly developer Twitter or whatever, right? And they're like, we need people. We need people back in Center City. We can't have a Center City without people walking around and having lunch and filling up office buildings. And like their whole point is like, Philly's never going to recover if you don't have that. It does make me laugh seeing like in the phase two plans of this thing at the sports club, like, here's a bunch of office buildings. You can't even fill up the friggin' office buildings
that are
in Center City, you know? So, you know, I think that's just something they throw on the blueprint to say, like, look at what we want to build, you know? And then like half, I mean, you remember what the Xfinity Live original blueprint looked like, right?
I don't.
Oh, it was this, maybe Craig can find it. It was this massive, like, it was like twice the size of what we ended up getting. I think I may be speaking out of turn here, but I remember because they built it like around the turn of like 2010-ish or something like that. I remember when, I think the same thing happened to it that happened to PPL Park down in Chester, where they had all these like amazing plans, like a boat slip and all this stuff. And then the recession hit in 2008 and they're like, oh, we're still going to build the stadium. It's only going to be like 50% of what it was. The original.
Yeah, you're not getting it. Yeah.
Yeah, the original Xfinity footprint was massive, and it was it's funny. So I wanted to scroll back here real quick because somebody said Kevin said, what happened to the Fusion Arena? Yeah, originally, so they broke, they didn't break ground, but they kind of set up like the first infrastructure rule kind of stuff that they had to do before the pandemic hit. And they were going to build this esports arena right next door to Xfinity. That's, that plan is out the door. Instead, they're going to do like the concert hall or some shit on the other side, and they're just going to expand Xfinity and make it bigger.
Well, I think a music venue is a much better idea. I don't know much about the gaming, but I do know that the esport professional teams, that industry hasn't thrived. Like, didn't Beasley buy a team? Beasley Broadcasting Group, they bought a team.
I want to say they did, yeah. So Craig's pulling up this is the original plans for Xfinity Live. It looks bigger
Grand Central Station.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? I mean, it looks like, originally it was supposed to span the length of the parking lot. I want to say that's like F lot or something there. I'm trying
and
to
the marry hotel to and all this.
Yeah, there's a big hotel or whatever. You know, I wonder how much of this too is just like, look at all this shit we're going to be. And then they know that they're never going to do it. But yeah, I mean, that was the original plan, you know? I do, to go back to your original point though, man, I haven't walked into Xfinity Live in years. But every time I'm down there, I'm carrying a media credential anyway. I'm there to work. Right. I'm not there to drink. So maybe I'm not the best person to ask. So, but
the average viewer or listener right now to us, right? You may get, if you're down there with your family, I'm not going to Xfinity Live. If I'm down there with my friends, I mean, maybe a beer afterwards, maybe a beer before. But then you get the single people or whoever that just want to go get hammered. So, I mean, there's people that want to go down there, but I just don't know if, I think it's less about what's there and it's more about just where you are, right? Like adding to it and having maybe cooler stuff. If you're not getting people that are going down there outside of the sporting events, you're gonna have the same crowd. You're gonna have people that go down for the sporting events. I'm not going down there to hang out.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right, man. Last one on this topic real quick. I feel like you guys, like on WIP at least, I know it was in the middle of the Eagles season or whatever, but did you guys ever talk about the Sixers arena at all?
I mean, not in great depth. No.
Yeah. Was that, did you ever get any kind of like, was there any kind of editorial guidance for that? Is it like, do people care about this? Do people not care about it? Or it just never came up in conversation?
I just don't think that, I don't know what, cause I like the subject. I think Howard maybe, for everybody took care of, it for everybody, talking about it. But I mean, here's where I stand with it. Yeah. And did I already smash my brand new computer? No way did I already do that.
Oh.
All right. Well, just here in the corner. Anyway, I'm a realist, right? I realize that Joshua Harris is going to get his own arena. It's a matter of where he's going to get it. He was trying on the waterfront. Mm-hmm. Now he's going to try downtown because he wants to develop around it. He wants to have his own arena so he can bring people in and concerts and venues, develop the area around it, make another $1 billion off of it, right? So like, I understand that I wouldn't want to play in Wells Fargo Center either. If he doesn't get something, guess where he's going to go? He's going to go somewhere that's going to build an arena for him, or it's going to help him build an arena. He's not going to renew a lease at the Wells Fargo Center. This dude's going to get a new arena. So it's a matter of where is it going? And to me, Chinatown is not supported by the community. I remember when the Phillies were trying to build in Chinatown. They brought in Spring Garden, then they had Vine Street, like 11th and Vine.
Yeah.
I was living in the city at the time, and I remember the residents, they were wearing these orange t-shirts that said No Stadium Chinatown. And man, they were marching every day. No Stadium Chinatown. No Stadium Chinatown. And there was hundreds of them out all the time. And I remember thinking, they're not going for this. This isn't going to happen. It's going to be too much BS. And it was. And the Phillies were wise to move away from it. Josh Harris doesn't seem like he's going to move away from this one.
Yeah, it was interesting because David Adelman came out and said on the record, like, we're not going to New Jersey. And, you know, when we had Governor Shapiro on the show, I guess it was last, I mean, I want to say it was like last year now at this point, he said his only, like the state perspective, the Commonwealth perspective on it was just like, we don't want them going, we don't want them leaving Pennsylvania.
Right.
You know, he's a huge basketball fan. I think he's the X factor in all this shit, to be quite honest. I think if it doesn't get handled at the city level, I think Shapiro starts coming in at the Commonwealth level and saying like, all right, let's talk about this now. You know,
well, you remember Ed Rendell, he was the governor when Pittsburgh got two ballparks and Philly got two ballparks. He made it a part of his platform. Hey, we need new stadiums for our teams. Period.
Same with Chester too. Yeah. He was a big, yeah, he was the big, he's the reason we got to drive down there all the time now. But I think it's interesting too, from the perspective of, I don't want to spend too much time like being the white guy from the suburbs bitching about traffic, but I've been driving down there forever. It's never really been that much of a problem. You know, you're going to sit in some traffic, whatever. I went down the other night. It took me an hour 40, right?
I saw your tweet about
it. Yeah. It normally takes like an hour. Not bad. So I'm not really complaining about having a long drive. I always have a long drive, but it was 40 minutes longer. Whatever. I get there, no problem. Go to the game, talk to a bunch of people. Coming out, I'm not going to take 76 West coming back because they've got that closed down. They've had that like one lane construction going on there around 30th Street for a long time. So I look at 95 South. That's kind of bottlenecked. I think they got construction down there too. So I say, fuck it, I'm just going to go up 95. I'm going to get off of Cotman here. I don't know if I'm an idiot or not, but I had no idea that the Cotman Avenue exit wasn't even available right now. It's a completely closed.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I go like all the way up and I just keep driving. I'm just like, you ever get in those, one of those cases where you're like, I will take the hour long extra drive as long as my car keeps moving.
Yeah.
Like versus like being stuck in traffic. So I get off at like Woodhaven and I go up Byberry. Next thing I know, it's like 11:30 night. I'm driving through like Hatboro, Horsham, trying to like back roads to Lansdale.
Taking 63 up to Lansdale.
63. Yeah. Welsh Road. Right. And so I'm like sitting there thinking like, listen, man, if I could get on the train, it would just drop me off at Jefferson. I would do it. But again, yeah. Not everybody lives on a train line too. And I don't think like the hardest thing for me too, is like people are just conditioned to drive. They want to drive. They want to control when they go. They want to control when they leave. They don't be standing there on a train platform waiting. And everybody thinks they're going to get mugged on SEPTA anyway. So you know what I'm getting at, man? It's not just like, here's where the stadium's going to be. Here's how you get here. People got to shift their mind philosophically to say, I'm not a mass transit person. I guess I have to be now.
Or I'm not going to go. Yeah. And that should be the real worry. I grew up taking the train and taking the Broad Street line and whatever else. I'm not from Collegeville going to drive to Paoli or to Norristown with my kids.
Yeah.
And drive in and go and take the train into a 76ers game. You know what I will do? I just won't go to a game. Right. There's no way I would drive in the center city. I may drive and then, you know, park somewhere in Fairmount or something like that. And then either walk. Cause that's like a 15 minute walk or maybe 20 minute walk. So I'd probably do that, but I'm with you. I don't know what's happened with traffic for me to go to a day Phillies game. Either a 405 or a 105. It's at least an hour and 20 from where I am.
I know it's worse. I feel like it's worse than it ever. I'm very like reticent to become like the just bitching and complaining like middle-aged white guy from the suburbs. But like it is worse than I ever remember it being. And I feel like a lot of it's preventable, but I find it apropos because we're talking about a lot of these things right now, you know? Yeah. So that's just interesting. I think that study, I think the city, The trying to remember what the PIDC, the Philadelphia Industrial Development Corporation, is going to release their study on the arena. I think in March is when it's supposed to come out. So we'll have a lot of answers there and we'll figure out what's going to happen there. Did you see the video the Sixers put out promoting it where they use the Celtics fans to?
Yes. Yes. Bad look.
So I'm just like, look, I mean, you probably don't want to sell, you know, your arena project by using your biggest rivals fans to tell you what you deserve. I mean, it'd be like going to down to Dallas and having Cowboys fans say, you know, here's what Lincoln Financial Field can have. Yeah. Can you pull the volume up on this, Craig?
Came here, they would have the greatest time because there's so much to do. You know, you come here, you go to New York, you're in the city. It's vibrant. There's things to do before, there's things after.
Our game starts at what, 8 o'clock tonight? We got here at 5:30. We love the Celtics, but at the same time, it's not even about the Celtics game. We love walking around Boston.
I remember a few years back, not even, there's a lot of homelessness, people sleeping on the street. The city did a really good
job. Not anymore.
Cleaning it up, and I think Philadelphia deserves, and not only deserve, but have earned a stadium.
Philadelphia, we got love for you.
Look, I love South Philly. I love what a stadium is now, but you can't do anything. It's not easy to get to.
I live in South Philly. It's convenient for me, but if we had it down downtown, it's convenient for everybody. If we had it downtown, it'd be lit.
Gaia.
Yeah. Listen, I'm not a marketing expert, but I would say that the pitch of we can be more like the Celtics. I don't know if that's what anybody's
right.
Looking
for. And you heard the one guy say there's nothing to do in South Philly. So what now? What is Comcast doing? They're creating a whole city around. See, there's plenty to do down here.
I thought it was funny. I saw somebody tweet yesterday. They said, Sixers, we're going to bring sports to downtown. Comcast, we're going to bring downtown to sports or
stadium
something.
They're complex, both just
trying to do the opposite thing. So I only have one final thing on the rundown here. Tobias Harris has been playing awful basketball lately. Somebody comes out and says, we're going to have a standing ovation for him. Are we going to see this now every time just from copycats or trolls? Anytime somebody is performing poorly in Philadelphia now, we got to do the standing ovation routine, or I'm just going to make up a fake thing about it and try to bait people into thinking that it's real. I mean, have we already started descending the slippery slope here?
Yeah, I don't think he's getting a standing ovation at the game against on Friday. Yeah. We'll see. I just don't think enough people are going to care about it. It was organic when Jack and whoever else came up with the idea, and I know there's more than one person that quote unquote came up with the idea. It was executed by Jack and WAP Afternoons. But I mean, yeah, it's great. Cheer him. Go for it. Cheer him. Cheer Tobias Harris. Yeah, I mean, like it. I used to say after the Trey Turner thing, I tongue in cheek, I'd say, all right, like who needs a standing ovation now to get him playing well again? But listen, we'll see if they can execute it. It'll be silly because they'll score 7 points the next night and won't show up when they need them. And the Sixers will lose in the playoffs again and nobody will care.
John, you can hop off whenever you have to hop off. Rush Joy has finally made himself available here.
Hello.
After the show's over, what's your problem, man?
I heard I was out. I had things that I had to do. I heard the name Tobias Harris. And so that's really what precipitated me showing up here.
All right. Well, you guys continue. I have to put children away to nap.
Okay.
Tobias sucks.
What are we doing? Tobias Harris sucks.
He sucks.
John, go to your children.
Part of this is your old colleague's fault, though. There he goes. You know, this whole idea of like, we're going to stand up and applaud these guys because they suck. Get out of here.
This has been a very strange. It's been a very strange show, by the way. We've had like three iterations of the show. We've had myself, Bob Long, and Kyle Pagan. Then Pagan had to go, so me and John started talking for a while. And John's got to take care of his kids. Then you pop on late, so
I was listening to you and Mark's in the car, and I'm not surprised about your stance with the stadium. But we need, like, just for a second here, can we all please be?
What is my stance with the stadium?
Hold on. You're in the Harris Blitzer pocket. Let's not even act like you're not. Can we just take a second though?
Because the guy who's got a partnership with Comcast, who has Dan Hilferty walk on.
I have Fios internet. The fuck are we talking about? I shit on the fact that their internet sucks in the arena. Please, Comcast, you own the place. Like, can we get our stuff on Press Row Show post game, right? Like where we have a player come on or torts. Like the video is horrific and people are like, oh, it's the potato cam. It's not the camera. It's the internet. Okay. So anyway.
Well, since you're in the bag for them, shouldn't they be paying for your, shouldn't you be on Xfinity?
All right. Maybe they should pay for my internet. But look, here's the thing. This whole idea of like, the standing ovation for Turner is the dumbest shit that has happened in a long time. All right. And the fact that it quote unquote worked, like, come on. But this thing, there is no fucking way that now listen, mental illness is a real thing. And if you need help with mental illness, we will send you in the correct direction here at Crossing Broadcast. But if you for one second in your life have ever sat down and thought, we need to standing ovation Tobias fucking Harris, you need your head checked. We need to get you some actual help. Tobias Harris has been nothing but a money suck, a leech, a parasite, sucking the life out of this team. Getting paid the kind of money that a Kyrie Irving would have gotten paid. Getting paid the money that a James Harden, if he were actually good, would have gotten paid. And instead, they've gotten jack shit from him. He's so bad, Kevin. And like, I talked about this on Monday. And people were saying in the comments on Monday that like, the big issue with the Sixers is, ever since Embiid went out, it's hard to get yourself emotionally invested in the team, right? Because you know that they're going to play very differently when Embiid is back. Tobias Harris sucks. I don't know if I've ever had a player on any of the Philly teams where I've been so fucking incensed all the time by the guy's mere existence on the team. Seems like a lovely guy. Let's be clear. Seems like a lovely guy. I don't fucking care. I want to win a championship. I want to see the Sixers compete for a championship. And he's sucking, what is it, $40 million this year? 38, 42?
Wait, so 39? Hang on here. Now, when I brought, atrocious. When I brought that tweet up, I think this guy's just trolling. But what I was asking John is like, now we're going to have to, are we going to have to deal with the trolls and the copycats all the time now?
Because yes.
of the Trey Turner ovation yes. thing. So now every time somebody in Philly sports is struggling, some joker is going to go on social media and say, time for a standing ovation. You know, it's just like we didn't create it, but like we kind of fell into this.
Fritz can be the one that has to deal with all this bullshit from now until the end of time. He's the one. I don't care if it's him. I don't care if it's Philly captain. I don't care if it's the cuz. I don't care who it was. Whoever it was that wanted the credit for getting a multimillionaire to like pull his head out of his ass and like hit the ball better, that person or those people collectively are where we should send the hate mail when we have to deal with this nonsense. Tobias Harris sucks. No, the sooner he's gone, the better. He needs. Kevin, honest question. How much does Tobias Harris get as a free agent from another team next year?
Yeah, like Detroit will give him like 3 years at $15 million per or something.
You think that's it?
I mean he's putting up like $18 to $22 million kind of stats now, I guess. So I don't know.
Poor Monty Williams. Monty Williams was mad because of the no call the other night. He's gonna fucking love Tobias Harris.
Not as many as Tobias. But here's my thing real quick. Like, I think the thing that bothers me the most about him is that like when Embiid is in and when Embiid is out, you get the same contribution from him, you know? Yeah. You get like 6 for 14, 17 points or something like that. So it's not even a case of like, well, we got another max guy who can step up and can contribute here.
That's the part that I think a lot of people have kind of not been afraid to say out loud, but like for the longest time it's been, well, he seems to be a guy that they like and it seems like he's a good dude. And again, like being a good human being is important, and I will always champion people who are good human beings. But like, he's bad. He's really, really bad. And like, he gives you what a draft pick can give you. He gives you what a mid first round pick can give you. He gives you no elite skill. He can fill up a stat sheet with some meaningless points here and there. He's really not a beast on the boards. He has like decent enough court vision, but like, he's like, who is the guy, Kevin, that we've had to watch in recent years who has done less with such a financial commitment?
Here's the better question. I would really be curious to know if Daryl Morey ever did make a legitimate, you know, effort to move off of that contract. Because when he came in, he inherited Al Horford and he inherited Tobias Harris. Both bad contracts. He got off of Horford right away, attached an asset to get off of that and whatever. But did he ever, you know, like what was the level of willingness to try to get off of that? I don't know. I'm genuinely curious, you know, because I think we had all kind of thought that at some point, even if you get to the final year of it, you're going to find some kind of, whoever the current Oklahoma City is, will at least like absorb that for an asset or something. I know it was a hard contract to move, but he got off of Horford and that was a tough contract to move too. So I'm curious to know whether Daryl tried or not.
The crazy thing is, and you're right, like his commitment and his contribution hasn't really changed at all.
Yeah.
Embiid went down, was it January 30th, right?
Yeah.
With the knee injury, right? So then like you look month by month, right? Tobias Harris in the month of October, just under 20 points a game. In November, just under 18 points a game. December, just under 16 a game. January, back up to 19 points per game. Since Embiid went out, the month of February, they played 9 games. He's averaging less than 15 points a game. Yeah. Like, what the fuck is that? If you're being paid to be the star player of Joel Embiid, there's a certain level of expectation. If you're expected to be Tyrese Maxey and be the number two guy, then, like, that's fine. He's good enough to be your number two guy. But, like, Tobias Harris should at least, if he's getting paid almost $40 million a year, should at least be able to be your third option when Embiid's there and a decent enough second option when he's not. And the fact that he just, I don't get it, man. Like, I wasn't in love with the deal when they made it, but holy shit. Like, it's like that meme, Kevin. You know the one where it's, our bar for you is low, but holy shit.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that's, I know. That's I what know. He is. He's just not good. He's not a good player. He's like, if we lined up all the forwards in the league and said, all right, you need to get a 16 points a game, 6 rebounds a game, 4 or 5 assists a game, I bet we could come up with a list of 70 players that play either forward position that could do that. and he's getting paid almost $40 million to do it. That's the problem, you know? Once he's gone, once that money's cleared, you know, if you do things the right way, maybe you can bring somebody in.
Well, the end is nigh, unless they re-sign Tobias, which I can't imagine.
I will renounce my fandom in the 76ers.
A new deal. We've reached a new deal with Tobias Harris. He's back.
Reached a new deal. We're going to pack him up and move him out of town. Great.
I only have two other things on the rundown. They're not amazing stories, but I do find it funny that there's a rumor out there that the Jets' offensive game plan was leaked to the Eagles back in week 7. Sauce Gardner came out, tweeted and deleted, said that I guess Mecole Hardman is accused of giving the Jets' offensive game plan to a couple opponents. I don't know what the Jets' offensive game plan is other than hand the ball to Breece Hall or throw it to him on a screen and then just pray that something is going to happen there. Which, funny about the conspiracy theory, which Mike Florio jumped all over because he loves conspiracy theories, is that the Eagles still lost to the Jets.
Yes.
Even though they allegedly had their offensive game plan, which, like I said, I don't really know what it is. You know, try to make it so Zach Wilson doesn't so that Zach Wilson doesn't throw any interceptions. This is from the PFT article. In the midst of some belated public acrimony between the Jets and receiver Mecole Hardman, a doozy report has emerged. Here's the tweet from Connor Hughes of SNY.TV. Yes, I'm told there's validated belief from the Jets that Mecole Hardman, frustrated by his lack of usage, leaked game plans to the opposition, as implied by several players, not just the Eagles game, but also the Chiefs. Ironically, the Eagles' victory was arguably the best win of the season for the Jets. While Zach Wilson enjoyed his best game of his career against the Chiefs. So I guess the moral of the story there is the Jets should leak their offensive game plan all the time. And then maybe they wouldn't have been 7-10 this year.
It doesn't matter though, right? Like ultimately, yeah. I know you're like Mr., you know, ride the fence on a lot of these things, but like it doesn't matter. I mean, if Hardman leaked the plan, then it's a real Players Association issue more than anything.
That's
true. It's like breaking the fraternity of players and breaking the trust. Like I think he has more that he has to deal with at the player level than anything else.
You know, the one thing we did not talk about actually was they did the NFL Players Association like anonymous poll of where they grade their teams and their coaches and their facilities and all that stuff. Nick Sirianni and Jeffrey Lurie got A grades from the Eagles. Now, a caveat here is I guess the reporting was done before the Eagles went to shit at the end of the year. I don't know whether that would have affected anything, but on Sirianni specifically, it was written that 100% of players feel that the head coach is efficient with their time, and the players feel that Nick Sirianni is very willing to listen to the locker room. Mm. And high marks across the board. Excuse me. They said treatment of families was a C. Food cafeteria was an A. Nutritionist dietitian was a B. Locker room was a B minus. Training room B plus. Training staff was an A minus. Excuse me. It was only the team travel and the treatment of families that got anything lower than a B.
Didn't that happen last year too? I feel like they had a C for the treatment of families last year as well. That was
because
the
I
one
guess
that
they don't have daycare. They don't have
one to stand out.
Yeah, they don't have. So what it said, the players mentioned two priority areas that they would like to see upgraded as soon as possible. First is the team's travel setup. Players feel crammed in the back of the plane while the staff sits in first class. Second issue is players mentioned the need for a renovated locker room, which feels outdated. That's true. I think that the thing about the treatment of families was like they don't offer on-site like daycare. Mm-hmm. I mean, welcome to the club. We're paying tens of thousands of dollars a year for that shit. So, but yeah, I mean, they do well. I mean, you know, they've done this before. I think my takeaway is always just like that the Eagles grade out better in general than a lot of the other teams. I mean, the Washington Commanders got like 4 F minuses, I think.
There was a thing on there too. I remember seeing about the Chiefs being in the bottom 5 for, I think it was food. Or something. They had a bottom five thing, and the Chargers had bottom five food, which was a little bit interesting given the fact that like they're in a new facility, they're in LA.
The Chiefs didn't do well because I guess the allegation is like they've had this success, recent success, and they haven't really reinvested anything back into the facility or whatever, you know?
That makes sense.
Which is valid. But yeah, I mean, I wasn't really aware of that. I saw them like, oh, F minus for, you know, the Hunt family. That kind of jumps out.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Eagles were top 15 in every category except for the treatment of families, the locker room, and team travel. but Jeffrey Lurie gets an A too. Nick Sirianni gets an A. So, I know some fans and media think Nick Sirianni doesn't know what the hell he's doing, but the players apparently disagree, or at least they did before the collapse happened. So that's it for me, Russ. I got nothing else to talk about. What do you want to talk about?
I don't know if there is anything else to talk about. I just caught up a little bit. That is this dollar dog thing really, this is true? There's no dollar dog nights?
Yeah, they're going to do a BOGO, buy one, get one.
Nice. That's the dumbest. That is so lame.
Pagan Surf is right, though.
We should do a standing ovation for Aramark for that, and maybe they'll decide to do the Dollar Dog Night. Can we do a standing ovation for Aramark? For the record, my idea, standing ovation for Dollar Dog Night. Mm-hmm. They should do a full-on ban. Like, people should protest. I want a good, healthy protest. Get the ketchup and the mustard bottles and throw them in the Navy Yard. You know,
I do think it's funny how Pagan kind of led the charge and like sniffing out some of this stuff and got the email from the Hatfield lady or whatever. And then the Inquirer gets the embargo on the press release that went out at 10 a.m. For people who have no idea what an embargo is, sometimes you'll have news that you want to release, but you can't do it until a certain point in time. So it'll say like, hey, we're going to announce tomorrow at 10 a.m. that Dollar Dog Night is going away and it's going to be BOGO night instead. You know, we'll send you the press release ahead of time so you can write the story, and you know, maybe we'll select an outlet to have certain quotes or whatever. And we were not one of the selected outlets this time. Maybe next time.
What a shame. You know, that's you know what though, that should help the narrative that you're in the pocket of Big J journalism.
We are. Yeah.
Yeah.
We are.
It should help
with
that allegation though, that you weren't on the inside in the know. It's a shame that Pagan, you know, gets these people so rattled. That's anti-American, you know, to not have a dollar dog night. I'm sorry. This city has dealt with some really shitty Phillies teams over the years. And they still showed up to some extent, right?
They did.
And then when the team actually shows that they're competent enough to play and to put together a run, the people show back up to the ballpark. And they're not going to do dollar dog night? That's messed up. Like the Flyers did one a month or two ago, and nobody even knew it was happening. Mm. And then it was like, oh, pleasant little surprise. Like, why would you not do Dollar Dog Night? It's Pagan's fault. I think what we've learned more than anything is it's Pagan's fault. Anything that goes wrong in Philly is Pagan's fault.
No, I think that I think he did good investigative journalism. I think he sniffed it out. He called it a rumor. He didn't say, I know 100% for sure that this is going to happen. He kind of had the nuts and bolts kind of what was going on here. And then he got the press release on top of it. So I think
Shapiro needs to step in. I know Bob Casey, you know, may have something to say about this, but I think Shapiro's got to step in.
Lion Bob. Yeah. I mean, they said he was going to back, he was going to stand up for Dog Night. And then he cowered and capitulated like politicians do.
Did he though?
Flip flopped more. Well, he made it seem not Bob Casey, whatever staffer running his Twitter account made it seem like he was showing solidarity with like the, you know, get the Dollar Dog Night dates out there, and then tweeted something later saying like buy one get one, you know,
boo
or whatever. So all I know is that I'm voting Republican next time he's up for re-election. Speaking of things that I normally wouldn't do, I'm neutral. We have no political affiliation at Crossing Broad. I said like a couple weeks ago that we were going to try to touch on all the like teams when we do the show or whatever. Yeah. Some people are mad at us because we didn't mention the Union last time.
Oh, one guy with the Union avatar, he was very upset on Twitter. Oh, or yeah, she or they.
Dude. Yeah. Silver, right? No, he's a dude. He's a good dude.
You're assuming.
They achieved. I know him. Like, I've met him. So.
Have you, though? But do you know him? You might know him, but do you know him? You know.
They went out and they've had a 3-3 draw with Saprissa in the Champions Cup on Tuesday. It's one of the ugliest games that I've watched. Very entertaining, of course, as most CONCACAF things are. But they gave up 3 goals at home. They had a red card. They survived on a goal in extra time playing down a man. And, you know, I know they preach like this survive in advance kind of thing. You play in these crazy tournaments. I mean, you never know what's going to happen. And you got to be kind of built for continental competition. But they have not looked – the defense has not looked great. I know Andre Blake has been out a couple games. Andre Blake had an error in the first game that they played too, so he's not off the hook. Jacob Glessness hasn't looked good. Jack Elliott did not look great coming off an injury. They've been really wide open. They've been going end-to-end, scoring goals. They look good going forward, but I think it's just been really loose. And that just hasn't – anybody who's watched anything of the Union over the last couple of years knows that that's kind of what has made them good. You know, from the turn of the – from 2019 when they started to turn the corner was that they stay compact. They're very good defensively. They don't, you know, risk anything going forward. And they just seem very discombobulated, and they're getting stretched a lot. And that's not – they just can't – they're not equipped to play that way. So they really got to figure out what's going on in the back. Can't allow – they've allowed 5 goals in 2 games at Subaru so far this year. You know, for people like you and me, I think you were – kind of like skeptical this year, not really feeling the juice for this year because they didn't really go and upgrade the squad at all. It's like, you know, you see results like these and you're kind of like, all right, I, you know, I'm not fully back on board yet until, you know, they have the Sixers defense and show that they can do it. They can play Pachuca in the next round. I don't, you know, all my money is going on Pachuca right now. So, and I hate to say that, but that's just the reality, you know?
They really are the Sixers. It's like, the difference is they've actually made it to a championship game, but like they have done absolutely nothing to inspire any kind of confidence. You know, I think even the most ardent Union supporters know that, like, none of this matters. You know, like, you get into arguments, too, because, like, that guy who got upset, I was like, you know, the trophy case is still, for the most part, barren. You know, like, you can hold up the supporter shield and say that was a big accomplishment, because it was. But, like, it was also with a reduced crowd, right? Because that was COVID-y.
Yeah, the COVID shield. It was the COVID shield.
And, like, I kind of put an asterisk on that. Just like, you know, you put an asterisk on the Lakers title in the bubble, right? Like, I think that it's fair to kind of say, like, the world wasn't exactly at its best at that point. And, like, I look at the supporter shield like I look at the President's Trophy in hockey. Like, nobody fucking cares. It's cool in the moment to win it, but, like, you don't hang a banner and, you know, tout the fact that you won the President's Trophy in the NHL, you know, every and, like, you know, point back to that. You want to win a Stanley Cup. And, like, if this team had ever won the Open Cup, that would have been something. If the team had won MLS Cup a couple of years ago, that would have obviously been something. If the team somehow wins this tournament, like, that's a meaningful piece of hardware. But, like, a regular season award doesn't do it.
No,
It's no more impressive than the Lakers winning the in-season tournament. It doesn't matter. It's cool to say that, like, hey, we're the best regular season team in MLS, but, like, people don't generally care. It's not the same as being able to say, hey, we won a title or we won this, like, Champions League thing.
Especially to Americanize it because people don't understand cup competition and regular season and whatever, right? Of course. The other thing too is, like, I know that everybody knows how I feel about the Shield. I think the Shield was an accomplishment in 2020. I just think it was a different kind of accomplishment. And even if you were playing in a non-COVID year, the supporter Shield is hard to qualify because you're playing an unbalanced schedule in MLS anyway. So if 1 year the West is better than the East, you know, the point total comes out of the East, then you say, well, you know, you didn't have to play Seattle 3 times or LAFC 3 times or something. So yeah. I get all that. That's why I think if they had just held on and won MLS Cup 2 years ago, I mean, that would have been huge and you can't take that away. And then you can sell this thing where it's like 2 trophies in 4 years and 2 trophies in 2 years, I guess.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe we're talking about a different kind of Union now, but I haven't seen anything in the first 3 games that makes me feel any differently than the way I did last year, where it's like they're probably good enough to reach like the quarterfinals or the semifinals of these competitions. They'll be in the Shield race for a little bit. They'll probably be like anywhere from like second to fifth in the league for a while, and then they just don't have the firepower to do it. So until they show me otherwise, that's kind of where I am on that thing.
I've lost my juice for the Union, which sucks because I was a season ticket holder for I think a year. At one point, I think it was like right after I got married, my buddy Sam and I, like, we had really good seats behind the goal in the River End. And then a couple of years later, 3 years later, I started working for Crossing Broad, and I went down and I covered some games as media and, like, made a concerted effort to try to, like, make sure that we had additional Union content on the site other than what you were doing on your own. And, like, I thought that there was a moment that they could have captured a lot more attention. And they had a bunch of years there, and you and I talked about this a lot when it was happening, but like there were years that the Phillies were just bad and that the Union, had they made a big splash, they could have pulled some of those people over just to be a winning team, and they didn't take advantage.
And then
they started winning when the Phillies started winning again. So it was almost like they unintentionally kind of took the wind out of their own sails. Yeah. I think that was the hard part. And I think that, like, look, I got a notice that something auto-drafted out of PayPal the other day, and I saw it was to Apple TV, and I was like, what the hell is this? And then I realized, oh, it was MLS Season Pass, I had no intention of re-upping because I barely watched any last year because it's the same thing again. It's like you're watching a team that, like, Ernst Tanner pulled out of the seventh division of, like, Norwegian soccer, and somehow the guy becomes an all-star, and, like, that's great, cool story. But you're in a top four sports market in the country and your owner's cheap or just doesn't have the money. And like, they're never going to have the money. The only time that this thing goes next level is if a bigger investor comes in. And until it happens, you're going to essentially be kind of like Moneyball Oakland A's and just trying to find value on the margins. And like, you're going to have a good team, maybe even some would say a great-ish team, great adjacent, but they're not a team that you believe in until they get to the playoffs and they prove that they can actually get it done. I'm not totally sold. I do want to ask you though, Kai Wagner. What's your feeling on how the fans have been feeling about Kai Wagner since last year's incident?
Don't ask me to get into all this shit at the end of the show.
I'm asking how you think the fan base has.
How does the fan base feel?
Yeah, I thought the fan base. I'm asking how you feel.
I thought the fan base went easy on him. I think if he had played in a team in a really liberal market, like if he'd playing for Portland or LA or something, they would have ran him out of town. He never would have worn that shirt again.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there are instances of racist language and other, you know, various transgressions happening for guys who play for those teams, and the supporters just like never let him hear the end of it, you know, and they cut the suspension short for him this year. It sounded like he and Bobby Wood talked about it, and they kind of a little bit of like a two-way apology and whatever, and they move on. But I mean, he owned it and he got out in front of it and he did what MLS asked him to do. I was kind of surprised because I know the cancel culture being the way that it is, especially in soccer, which has a lot of left-leaning fans and supporters. Normally you get hung, drawn, and quartered for that kind of stuff. But I was surprised that the response to the racist language suspension wasn't more vehement than it was beforehand. And like at the end of the day, man, I mean, he's the best left back they've ever had, one of the top five best players they've ever had. Mm-hmm. So if the fans are willing to look past that and think that he did his, got his comeuppance for it or something, okay, but I think EJ's right when he says this. It definitely killed the enthusiasm for bringing him back, where everyone just kind of shrugged instead of being excited. So I think that was probably it. By the way, Ford keeps asking you about this Gazzo's place. Is it a cheesesteak place? Are you and Ford going for cheesesteaks?
I went to Gazzo's last weekend.
Okay,
they're in Pottstown. It's a food truck, but they're going to be moving. So here's a fun little factoid for you. They're going to be. They should sponsor shows for as much as I talk about them now, but they're going to be moving their food truck. I think they're doing a brick and mortar in Pottstown soon, but they're moving their food truck to a brewery that's going to be opening in Phoenixville next month. And it turns out that the brewery that's going to be opening in Phoenixville is owned by parents of kids that I taught at Phoenixville. So I found that out the other day, and I went, huh, how about that?
So Russ is going to take Ford for cheesesteaks.
Am I? Yeah. I said I would meet up with Ford at some point.
Russ is going to take Ford for cheesesteaks. Thank you for coming on, man. Thank you to John Marks. Lovely thank guy. You to Bob Long. Thank you to Kyle Pig. Thank you to Craig. We had kind of a doozy of a show today. A lot of different stuff going on. Thank you to everybody for hanging out for the chat as well, for EJ, for Ford, for everybody whose name disappeared off my panel on the right. It's a good show. We tried to touch on everything. And we'll be back. Russ will be back on Monday with the Russell Reacts show, or whatever we're calling it. Do we have an official name for this show?
Name is, it's Crossing Broadcast.
Okay. Russ's solo Crossing Broadcast will be back on Monday. Leave us a message. 215-839-8477 if you'd like to leave a message for Russ to react to. And so far, so good with that show. I will be back with Russ. Or I will not be back next Thursday. I'm sorry. I'm getting surgery next Thursday. Same as Embiid. I have a flap. I have a displaced flap that I have to get.
Oh, don't call your. That's a weird name for your penis. That's a weird name.
No, it's not in that area. It's not knee, but it's the ankle. I have a cartilage flap in my ankle from playing basketball. So, Russ, I guess we'll run the we'll run the show next Thursday with whoever the hell you want to have on the show. I'll see you when I see you. But we're giving the keys to Russ. And once again, thank you to everybody for listening today. And we'll see you next time.
Monday.